Welcome to How Do I Get Your Job, a podcast by the UW Daily. I'm your host, Kate Connors. Every episode, I have a conversation with a professional about their job, and you guessed it, how they got them. If you like what you're hearing, be sure to subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for joining me today. And to start us off, I'll have you introduce yourself, who you are, where you're from, and what work you're doing right now.
Hi, my name is Lim Forgy, and I'm so honored to be here talking to you today. I'm from Washington State, but I've lived all over the United States. Most recently, I've just moved from California, where I was there for about 25 years. I'm a professional singer. I've sung all over the world, and I've also produced large-scale opera, musical theater, and ballet in three companies. The last is Theater Arts Alliance with my amazing wife, and currently, I am the interim general manager at Tacoma Opera.
That is so wonderful. Can you tell us a bit more about your job at the Tacoma Opera, what roles you perform, and how you found yourself there?
Yeah, so the interim general manager or the general manager of an opera company is an important one in that they bridge the gap between the artistic vision of producing things like opera and musical theater with the business side of those important tasks, budgetary requirements, the hiring of people, the creation of contracts, negotiation with theaters. So I work both on the artistic side and the business side of opera. And I found myself there because their general manager for the last, I think, 10 years recently retired. And so they reached out to me, and it's been a wonderful experience to step in. Right now, the position is interim, but we're looking maybe at a longer-term relationship. Who knows? But so far, it's been pretty exciting, and it's like taking small sips out of a fire hydrant.
That's perfect. You have been a professional opera singer for years. How do you think that influences the work that you're doing right now? Because you see things both from a managerial side, but also from an artistic point of view.
Yeah, so I've been on the other side, as you say, working with general managers and big companies. And I know what it feels like to travel and sing. And oftentimes it can be frustrating or lonely or confusing. So one of the things that I try to bring to Tacoma Opera is that kind of understanding when I work with artists. I talk to them, I hear their perspective, and I want them to know that, honestly, Tacoma Opera is a company that is first and foremost committed to authentic relationships with artists. We don't believe in playing games. We believe in lifting up our talent and building strong relationships. I've said that, you know, some general managers are bridge burners, but I want to be a bridge builder to our artistic community.
How long have you been in your position at the Tacoma Opera? I know it's fairly recent.
So I've been producing large-scale opera and musical theater with my wife for the last 25 years. We've had our own production company. We still do. That production company is called Theater Arts Alliance. So for over 25 years, we've been producing huge, large-scale productions. Madame Butterfly, we did a Nutcracker ballet every year. We've done symphonic works. We've produced tons of musical theater. And our average audience has been in the thousands. So we've put up our own money and raised our own family on producing big works. So Tacoma Opera, when they reached out to me, I think that they were excited to bring someone on board that had that kind of experience. So far, I've been at Tacoma Opera for 8 weeks.
That's amazing. And since you have so much experience going into it, since the last 25 years, you've been producing and building a company and a name for yourself. Have you still found something that surprises you even now?
I think the surprises that happen are surprises that are very positive, and they are kind of born out of connecting with new people with new ideas. One of the things that really surprised me about Tacoma Opera is they have a very clear vision about what they want to be like in the future. And it's kind of a three-pronged thing. They want to be an opera company that first looks at our local talent and lifts them up. You know, I remember when I was in California and I was singing professionally, and there was an opera company about 75 miles to the north of me, and I wanted to audition for their season. But in order to audition for that company that was an hour and a half drive north, they wanted me to fly all the way to New York, audition there, and come back to California so that I could sing with them just an hour and a half away. So that was a bit crazy because that company looked first at a national and international interest. That isn't so with Tacoma Opera. They really want to lift up our local artists because they believe that some of the best singers in the world happen to live right here in the Pacific Northwest. Secondly, they're looking at changing the way that they engage with young people and education. They've always really been into education, but now since I've been there, we've started a new program that pulls together philanthropists from the community, and they are sponsoring about 50 kids to come to the opera, to go out and have a wonderful meal and a new t-shirt that says Tacoma Opera Kids Club. All 50 of those kids are at-risk kids or underserved kids in our community who never would have been able to afford to go have this kind of experience. So Tacoma Opera believes that going into places like engaging in foster care and the foster kids in the foster care program, going into the juvenile hall, Raymond Juvenile Hall, and performing there, into the women's prison and performing there, that we can bring the light of music into some of the darkest places. So that's how they're regrouping and rethinking about education, which is exciting. And lastly, they have a new kind of commitment to diversity. And it's not a tokenistic commitment. It's one that says, we want the people on our stage to look like our community. And that includes the people who choose the works, the people who direct, the people who are on our board. So we have a new commitment to diversity. And so to find out that they have a commitment to all three of those things was super, super exciting and surprising to me.
As a music educator yourself, you find such beauty and diversity, and especially in helping younger generations. How do you think those children and future generations will be affected by the work that you are doing currently?
That's such a great question. And I want to tell you that when I was a young person, very young, I was in a situation that was very hard when my parents were married. Both of my parents were very, very young when they had me. And there was a situation where before they divorced, life was very, very hard, very difficult. And I can say honestly that music changed the trajectory of my life radically. And so without music, I'm not sure that I would have ever been educated. I would have ever achieved an international career or seen the world or changed my perspective from I can't to I can. So I believe that just changing a young child's perspective just this much can change their trajectory for their entire life. And I think that's the power of the arts and opera. Not that it feeds our ego, but it engages the community. It communicates who we are as authentic people and helps build and transform lives.
That's a beautiful sentiment. I know that you studied music in college, and how do you feel that it influenced where you ended up now? Of course, you're working in the Tacoma Opera, so that's definitely a plus. But when you went in to study music in college, what did it feel like and how did you go from there?
Well, that's a super good question, Kate. One of the things that I'm very proud about is I was the first person on both sides of my family to be a college graduate. And in fact, many people in one side of the family never even graduated high school. So music afforded me a pathway towards education. And so I began studying music as a young emerging person at Washington State University. And then my future wife and I went forward to the University of Washington. And we were there until we were married and then found out we were going to have our first baby. And so that's when we moved more to the east. And that's when my career started building and gaining momentum there. So I began a master's program at the University of Washington. I had one class to go, but didn't finish. And then in 2016, my younger brother passed away from cancer. And one of the things he encouraged me to do was to go back and finish my degree. So I was, I think, 45 at the time. And I thought, oh, I'm too old to do this. But I went back and I finished my master's degree at Cal State Fresno. And then at that time, I had been singing everywhere and had been in Germany and Romania and just singing and singing and singing. And then we had the opportunity to move back to the Pacific Northwest. And I joined the University of Washington in their doctoral program. And there I still am finishing up my doctorate and I'm teaching and I have a great studio. And sometimes I teach diction and I teach class voice, but it gives me an opportunity to meaningfully engage in the lives of young singers, which I'm passionate about. And I hope to inspire them and help them forward.
Since you've been at the University of Washington, you've taught many classes, like you mentioned. What has been your favorite part about being able to teach, to pass on what you know?
My favorite part is really to listen to the next generation of people. When I was going through my first master's program at the University of Washington, the whole school had a different vibe and a different feel. It was very competitive, very stressful, not super collegial, and it really turned me off from academic music for a good while. But now that I'm back, I said to myself, one of the things I want to do is I want to have a sort of a spirit of listening, and that I didn't want to come into the situation thinking that I'm going to impart some wisdom from on high to young people, but I wanted to listen to what they had to say and learn from them too, and have sort of a back and forth relationship, one that was positive and affirming. So that's one of the great benefits, I think, with teaching at the University of Washington is interacting with the next generation of singers and musicians. And it's really exciting.
I really appreciate the way that you talked about how it's a back and forth relationship between student and professor, because I feel like not every class has that same feeling. And I think that it's very important that you have that kind of relationship with your students. And in your work through the Tacoma Opera and through singing, do you feel like you're still able to have that kind of relationship with the people that you work with, as well as people that, like this, the children that were coming in the at-risk program? Do you still feel like you're able to have that kind of relationship?
100%. I think, honestly, that's why we're all here on this earth, is to work together and figure out ways that we can help and lift each other up. So sometimes people can approach music with just this huge ego, and it's all about them, and the world revolves around their needs. But really, the best professionals, the highest level professionals, understand that music is about us, and it's about teamwork, and it's about building each other up. And so Tacoma Opera is that's our DNA right now. And we're building stronger relationships. We're making bigger commitments. And along the way, we're also committing to better productions, higher production value, better staging, and we're really putting the grand back in Grand Opera there. It's going to be a whole new chapter for us.
That's really exciting to hear. I'm sure with all of these amazing things that are going to be happening, there are going to be some challenges that you face. What kind of challenges are you guys expecting? Are you expecting to get over them? Do you plan to get through those?
Yeah, there's always challenges in the arts, right? And we can't predict what's happening or what's coming around the corner. And unfortunately, the production of art is heavily influenced by the economy, by people's desires to connect or disconnect, and their own personal preferences. But I'm finding that what's more important to push through challenges is to give people the why. Why are we doing what we're doing, and how do you fit into it? So someone may not love one of the operas that we're going to produce, right? Some people are very traditional, and we produce traditional grand opera, but every once in a while we produce something that's on the newer side. And some of the diehards, maybe they're going to push back at that a bit. But the important thing is to explain how something fits into the whole and what we hope people will get out of the experience. And so that's the exciting part of challenges, is to push through with why are we doing it, and what does it mean to you, and how does it make us better together?
I love that. That's really important, and it's great to have a really positive mindset, especially going into a brand new challenge and a brand new role that I know you're going to excel at.
Thank you.
Of course. But I wanted to ask, do you have a favorite opera in general, or one that you hope to produce eventually?
Ooh. I have so many favorite operas. I'll give you three from three different genres that I'm just itching to produce. One is a new work that's really a powerful work, and it's called Dead Man Walking. And it's one that in the next 4 years I would love for us to produce, because it's a push-pull of morality and understanding and forgiveness and working through trauma and pain. And it's beautiful, and it's based on a true story. There was also a film that was made, but that Hagi opera is incredible. Another opera that I would love to produce is Susanna by Carlisle Floyd. I think it's beautiful, and it presents a picture that many people experience in this world, a picture of blame and then a pulling away of community and the consequences of not caring for one another. Carlisle Floyd has an incredible musical sense, and Susanna is very, very beautiful. But my most favorite opera of all is Madama Butterfly, and I could be in that, and I could produce it 1,000 times over. And I see that production as an important one because it shows the real-life consequences of imperialism and what it means to have had the United States and Great Britain go out into other countries and basically use the people and throw them away, and the lasting effects that has had, imperialism has had in the world. And so I see Madama Butterfly as a real allegory for how the world interacts with itself.
Exactly. And if someone goes to see an opera, say, who's never seen one before, and let's, for example, say it's Madama Butterfly, what would you want them to take away from the whole experience? Like when they walk out, what do you want them to think?
That's a great question. And what I want them to do is to wrestle with their thoughts, their conscience, and really roll over how relationships build and disintegrate and what it means to interact with each other. So, for instance, we're going to be putting on a new opera this season. It's called Tacoma Method. And it's a very important new work, and it details the 1885 violent expulsion of Chinese citizens from Tacoma at gunpoint. And this was, you know, a factual, real historic thing that happened. So in 1885, the mayor and several hundred people came at gunpoint. They pushed the Chinese citizens out, and they burned Chinatown to the ground. So to this day, there is no Chinatown in Tacoma. And it was called Tacoma Method because it became a horrific model for other communities around the United States to do the same. And I want people to go into that and wrestle with our community now, to think about the long-lasting consequences of hate and racism and how those things don't just float away, but they have lasting sinews that move throughout history, and we're experiencing some ramifications of those today in our own community. So I want people to think, wrestle, and ponder, and maybe change who they are.
That's very important. As a student, how would I be able to go and experience this opera for the first time?
That's a great question. So as a student at the University of Washington, I want you to know that Tacoma Opera is beginning a new commitment to a young artist program. So we're launching a new system where we're inviting younger singers to be a part of our operas, to have actual roles in some of our operas so that they can build their resume, to be in a position of being paid and under contract so that they can move out into the world and take a step up. That's part of our commitment to the local artist. So as a local singer, you have a place with Tacoma Opera, and we want to help you launch your career. Secondly, we need young people, young students who love music to come and see our productions, because we're really stepping out on a limb. We're not just producing, you know, Puccini, Puccini, Verdi, Verdi, Puccini, Puccini. We're producing some of the greats. We are. There's going to be a great, well-known, well-loved opera or two every season. But those one or two that we're doing that has a new perspective, we need to hear from you. We need to hear if it resonates with you, what you like about it, what you don't like about it. So you in the audience is so important because you're part of who we are. We say that there may be divas on stage, but the stars of the show sit in our seats.
To the students that are coming to either watch the shows, or they're attending school at UW, or they're just struggling navigating right now, artistic or otherwise, do you have any pieces of advice for them?
Yes. My first piece of advice is, don't wait around for someone else to find your path forward. And don't get discouraged when someone else's project doesn't seem to include you. The truth is, you have the power to create. You have the power, just like anybody else, to launch a concert, to do your own opera work, to reach out on your own to companies, to go down, knock on doors, and to show up and to be a part of these organizations. You can't be pushed out of an organization, but you have the power of walking through the door. And I tell anybody, if they want to be a part of Tacoma Opera, come down, I'll have coffee with them. There's a place for you, and there's an authentic space where you can be an artist.
Thank you. And finally, do you have any new projects, social media, or a fun secret you want to share with our listeners?
Yeah. So I told you about our Tacoma Method, and that's our really big, important new opera that goes up March 31st, and then April 1st and April 2nd at the Rialto Theater in Tacoma. Just before that, February 11th and 12th, at the Pantages Theater, we're combining with Tacoma City Ballet, and we're doing a fantastic Carmina Burana with our soloist from Tacoma Opera. So it incorporates really incredible dance and music. And then we begin our season, though, on October 29th and 30th at the Theater on the Square in Tacoma with the great Metropolitan Opera tenor Robert McPherson and seven of his amazing friends, including Dr. Stephen Rump from our own University of Washington, who will be singing some of opera's best-loved arias of all time. But there's just one problem, and that's the drunken tenor who also shows up. And it's just a rip-roaring, side-hurting from so much laughter kind of show. So that's called the Drunken Tenor's Opera Palooza Spectacular Shindig. And that is October 29th at 7 p.m. and October 30th at 2 p.m. at Theater on the Square. So anybody who likes to laugh can come. Anybody who loves opera should come. If you don't know anything about opera, it doesn't matter because it's so ridiculous and silly. You're just going to love it. It's based off of the Rat Pack generation and kind of the Donnie and Marie show or the Dean Martin show. So it's a lot of fun. But the real secret is that the season that I'm choosing that's coming up next is going to be announced in November. And we're going to be holding auditions in December and probably February. It's going to blow people's socks off. There's some really amazing, fantastic operas and lots of opportunity. That's my secret.
With you at the helm, I'm sure that they will be absolutely fantastic. And I cannot wait to hear more.
Thank you.
But thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Hey, thank you so much. It's so wonderful being a part of this important podcast. And best of luck to you, Kate. And I think the world of you as a singer and as a person. So thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to this episode of How Do I Get Your Job? Be sure to follow us wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on social media at Soundbite and at The Daily on all platforms.